Good morning, Harmony. Why don't you rise in body and spirit and open up with worship this morning?
Words can never say the way he says my name. He calls me lovely. No one ever sees the way he looks at me. He sees me holy. Earth can never hold this love that burns my soul. Change. justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into
God some praise this morning. As we go into this next song, you can either remain standing or you can sit and have your own personal time with God. And I love this song because the lyrics are so simple and it simply says, hallelujah, I am not alone. So whatever you're going through, whether you've walked away from God, whether you're angry at God, you aren't alone because he's with you through all of that anger, through any sadness, but he's also with you in your joy. The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. I'm so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. And whatever your position of prayer is, I ask that you take that in this moment. If you want to kneel, close your eyes, bow your head. If you want to stand, whatever you need to do to focus on this time with you and God right now. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this day, and I'm thankful for every single person in this room. I'm thankful for a space for people to feel safe and loved, not only by you, but by people who love you and people who want to do good in this world. I'm thankful for your grace and for the reassuring message that we are never alone, because through everything, you walk beside us. Knowing you are there every single day, every single step of the way, it makes living just a little bit more easier. Your unconditional love is something that we don't deserve, but you give no matter what. So thankful for you being our comforter, for you being our friend, our guide. For this moment to just sit in and be in your presence, God.
Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory.
Wow, what a powerful, magnificent start to this morning. Amen. Thank you, Melinda, and to the worship band, Elliot, Eric, Ian, and Desi. And so welcome, everyone, to Sunday worship here at Harmony Toluca Lake. And this is a reconciling and redeeming faith community. And our mission is to transform this world through the inclusive love of Jesus. And I want to thank you so much for being with us and choosing to be with us in person this morning, as well as those choosing to connect with us online. We have quite a bit happening this morning, and so we're appreciative of everyone participating in this morning's worship service. In addition to the worship band, we're grateful for Juan Carrillo, who's going to read today's scripture passage. We have the Rev. Jefferson Beaker, who's going to lead us in the Sacrament of Communion. And by the way, if those in the sanctuary, if you haven't picked up a pre-filled communion cup, those are in the back. We're thankful for production coordinator Chris Bogarin and our PowerPoint technician Nick Masters. There's Terrence in the back, yes, and also want to give a shout out as well to our greeters, Shauna Carroll, an online greeter is Anthony Zapeda, and also for Harmony's Pastoral, and Dr. Larry Hyde Jr., don't want to forget him, and also Harmony's Pastoral intern Jace Lucas, who's going to now provide us a moment of what, Harmony? Joy, that's right. And Chase, isn't there something happening tomorrow night? It's like 7 p.m.?
There is. It's a little something called Creation Care.
All right.
Yes, we have this wonderful thing we've been blessed with called the world. And it was, yeah, there we go. See, we're learning to laugh. There we go. Yes, so for the next 6 months, or 9 months, we're going to be talking about how we can care for the creation that God has blessed us with, because we are so incredibly blessed to have a planet with air that we can breathe and sunshine that we can enjoy and warmth that we feel on our skin, but it's also our responsibility to take care of it. So starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, once a month on Zoom, we'll be discussing creation and how we steward God's creation and how that relates to our faith as a whole. So if you're interested in joining us, you can join us on Zoom tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. If you need the link, I think it's in the e-news. And if not, just connect with me after worship and we'll make sure that we get that to you, because we'd love to see you join us for that. There are also lots of other amazing ways to connect with your Harmony family through things like our weekly Bible study led by Pastor Mark or the midweek chat with Rev Kathy. We also have opportunities to plug in and volunteer. You know, if you're interested in running a PowerPoint, you can talk to Pastor Mark. If you want to connect as part of the greeter team, you can connect with Shauna outside after worship. Or if you'd like to volunteer with our Harmony kids, we need about 2 more volunteers, and I'd love to set you up with all that goes into that as well. But all of these amazing ways to connect and to serve, they're all made possible through your gifts of time and prayer, and also to the Joy Box. So if you would like to give to the Joy Box and you are here in person with us today, you can give to our awesome new Joy Box in the back of the sanctuary, secured to the wall. You can also give online. If you scan the QR code on your screen right now, it'll take you to give securely on our website. Just make sure that when you're giving, you select the Harmony Fund. And you can also give by text or mail a check to the church. But however you give, just make sure that you give with joy. And now, every week I walk off of the camera, and then I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to introduce someone, so let me get back to the camera. And now, Juan is going to share with us a reading from Scripture.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This probably worked better. Okay. Reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. The translation is from the Common English Bible. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone throwing demons out in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." Jesus replied, "Don't stop him. No one who does powerful acts in my name can quickly turn around and curse me. Whoever isn't against us, for us, I assure you that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly be rewarded. As for whoever causes these little ones who believe in me to trip and fall into sin, it would be better for them to have a huge stone hung around their neck and be thrown into the lake. If your hand causes you to fall into sin, chop it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to go away with two hands into the fire of hell, which can't be put out. If your foot causes you to fall into sin, chop it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to be thrown into hell with 2 feet. If your eye causes you to fall into sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter God's kingdom with one eye than to be thrown into hell with two. That's a place where worms don't die and the fire never goes out. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? Maintain salt among yourselves and keep peace with each other. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, Harmony. Thank you so much for being here today. This song, I really love this song when I heard it because it says, I love the simple messages because God doesn't have to be complicated, right? And I love this message. It simply says, who am I to be loved by you? So I hope you enjoy it.
Desperation, hard times, and conversation. No one should ever love me like you do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions. No one should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hand. Somehow you really love who I really am. I push you away so you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. Who am I, who am I, who am I to be loved by you? Who am I, who am I, who am I to be loved by you? Who am I? Last night, confidence was shaken, my wounds and my past was saying, no one should ever love me like you do. But while I'm on this road, you take my hand, somehow you really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You see the best and the worst in me. Still, I can't imagine that I've earned your trust. I don't understand where your love comes from. To be loved by you, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? To be loved by you, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? To be loved by you, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? To be loved.
Thank you, Melinda, and to the worship band for reminding us that we are loved, that, Lord, we are yours. And it's not because of who we are, but because of what you've done. And it's not because of what we've done, it's because of who you are. Amen. This morning, friends, we continue our current sermon series, and it's called Freeing Jesus. And this is based on the same titled book by award-winning author Diana Butler Bass, and I want to give a shout out and again extend gratitude to Diana as she did a special recorded message for us that we included in last week's worship service. And throughout this series, what we're going to be doing is considering a life in where Jesus grows with us in his many manifestations. And during this series, we're going to rediscover Jesus as friend, teacher, savior, Lord, way, and presence. For some, this is like meeting Jesus again for the first time. And so it's renewing our hope in faith and worship at a time when we need it the most. And for others, well, you may be meeting Jesus for the first time. And for all of us, we're being asked, who is this Jesus? Well, today we're going to consider and we're going to focus on Jesus as teacher. And I want us to start off with a question, which is, who was, is a teacher in your life making a positive impact, and why? And I'd like us just to take 15 seconds to ponder that question. Who was, is a teacher in your life making a positive impact, and why? And after worship service concludes, what I'd like you to do is, and I'm inviting you, share that answer with someone. If you're here in the sanctuary, and I'm extending that invitation to everyone connecting online as well or listening to the podcast. So with a theme of teacher, Jesus as teacher, I want to give a shout out to all teachers and educators, those in person and virtually. And it says, thank you so much for everything that you do. And it is so much. And I also want to give an additional shout out. This is a surprise for her, Melinda. This week, Melinda, Harmony's worship leader and activist, included educator Jamika Thrasher on her photo and video series, Black Voices Heard, which amplifies Black voices across different fields and life experiences. And Jamika spoke about the pride that she felt being the first Black teacher for her students and what that means not only for her, but for them. And by the way, our own Dr. Larry Hyde Jr. was on the series too. Oh, and congratulations, Melinda, as you completed your fifth season of hashtag We Need to Talk, the podcast. And she's about to start a six-episode miniseries on motherhood. Hello, Harmony. Just saying. And I share this about Melinda because I view her as a teacher as well. Now, going back to my days of youth, not that long ago, I was truly blessed with some really wonderful teachers. And I was blessed with a few not-so-wonderful teachers as well. It's probably weird for me to say that. Nevertheless, it is true. And one of my wonderful Sunday school teachers was through my experiences with UMYF. Now, that's United Methodist Youth Fellowship. Mrs. Bessie Giese. Mrs. Giese would do just about anything for us. And she loved playing with the youth at games, and she would share these many stories about Jesus with us. And she would traipse all over the countryside, just taking us all over creation in what we called the Giese-mobile. And it was the family station wagon. And Mrs. Giese had such a caring heart. And I remember her well because she always put the needs of us, the youth, the youngsters, ahead of her own. And it just impressed me so much. Also, when I was a wee youngster, there was this one school teacher who made a positive impact on me. And her name was Mrs. Alice Shurtleff, and she was my second grade teacher. However, to get to Mrs. Shurtleff, there's a lead-in, and so 2 years prior to this, I had been in kindergarten in Salina, Kansas, and then in first grade, I was in Iowa Park, that's Wichita Falls, Texas, and my dad was in the Air Force, so we were going all over creation from base to base. Well, I'm going to tell you, first grade, that didn't go so well for me. Nope, my teacher at the time, who will remain nameless, ridiculed me. And my parents. And why? Because I didn't know how to read. That I was behind all the other students, and that she just didn't have time to teach me how to read. Well, you can imagine how that went over. So my parents decided, you know what, we're just going to roll up our sleeves, and they taught me at home, flashcards, anyone? So by the end of that school year, hallelujah, I could read, and thank you to my parents for that. However, the one thing that they didn't teach in first grade was math. So what do you think that mess was when I entered into second grade in rural Bogota, Texas? Yep. My dad had retired from the military, and I entered into a class where the students already knew basic math, and so yet again, I was behind a full year. This time, though, was different. Whereas that first grade teacher basically, well, she did. She shamed me. She shamed me and put the onus of learning how to read on me and my parents. My second grade teacher, Mrs. Shurtleff, put the responsibility of teaching me math upon herself. She spent an hour of her time, and I remember this distinctly, she spent an hour of her time every afternoon after school teaching me basic math skills. Mrs. Shurtleff, she met me where I was at. She met me where I was at, and she was, and even though I was a full year behind, even though I wasn't at the same level as these other students, and I remember her being so patient and compassionate, and she was willing to spend whatever time it was to help me grow. And of course, there were flashcards, flashcards all the time. Now, did you notice in the two stories that I've shared about these two wonderful teachers in my life, the descriptive words that I used, like sharing, caring heart, patient, compassionate, putting one's needs ahead of their own, taking time, meeting me where I was, wanting you to grow and help you grow. Great qualities like Jesus, wouldn't you say? One for whom we choose to follow. Okay, so with that, if we go to the New Testament, how many times do you think Jesus is, and I'm going to refer this as a whole, how many times do you think Jesus in the New Testament is referred to as teacher or rabbi? And rabbis in the sense in the first century is not Jewish clergy person. Rabbi back then was someone who bore spiritual authority. So there was teacher, rabbi, we have great one or master, and this is in the British sense of schoolmaster. So how many times do you think all of this Jesus was referred to? Roughly 60 times out of 90. Interesting. Now, furthermore, in the Gospels, I found this also interesting, is that the majority of the time of the action that occurs with Jesus, we may be sitting there thinking, well, it's about healing or something else, but it's about teaching. That's the majority of the action that occurs with Jesus. Meeting people where they are not only just physically, but where they are in their lives. Here is a man who met people at the temple, at the lake, on a boat, mountaintops, hillsides, weddings, dinner tables. He just about everywhere he went. And he started teaching early in his life. We have that story where he started teaching at 12 years old. And he was just sitting among these teachers at the temple and listening to them, and he was putting questions to them, and everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. Jesus was a born teacher and a born-again one. And he was still, get this, he was still teaching on the night before he was arrested, as well as when he was being tortured by the Romans. He lived and died a teacher. Now, oftentimes when we think about teachers, we may equate them with rules, teachers and rules. So, like in elementary school, did anyone in here ever get acknowledged, or did you get a gold star? Right? Gold star. Love those. For raising your hand to speak. I remember getting one of those, yeah. Or how about this one? Line up neatly and quietly. Or this, walk, don't run in the hallway. I was bad at that one. Or what about Christians? So Christians are often taught rules in church. I was told as a child, now don't talk in worship, or Mark, Don't squirm in the pew. Stay still. Or this one got me. Don't play games while the preacher is speaking. I got in trouble for that one a couple of times. What I find interesting is that a lot of Christians want to hang their hats on the Ten Commandments as the be-all, end-all rule. Whereas in the New Testament, what's the one big rule? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' great command, which is a summary of the Ten Commands, Jesus taught that love ruled, and he embodied that love. He lived out what he taught, leading and living by example. Now, this isn't to say, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't teach about rules and commands. I mean, we got the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Gospel according to Mark, chapters 5 through 7. And here's where he carefully expanded and expounded on specific directives in the law of Moses on murder and adultery and false witness and other issues of Jewish law like divorce and vengeance and praying and fasting and, oh yeah, dealing with money. And near the end of that sermon, Jesus states what? The golden rule, the foundation of all the commandments. And I love this. I'm emphasizing these two words. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then when Jesus finished that, the crowds, they were amazed. They were astounded by his teaching because he had taught them like someone with authority, and it wasn't like they're legal experts. They were amazed and astounded, and because Jesus had reimagined, Jesus had expanded. What he had done is he provided an alternative. He provided something that was innovative reading of Jewish tradition. And if you think about your best teachers, the ones who made a difference in your life, influenced you in a positive way, how would you describe them? How would you describe the best? So I was journaling and I was thinking about Jesus. I included Jesus in the mix and I was including that in. And here's some descriptive words that came to mind. There's things like accessible, compelling, great storyteller, valued tradition as well as innovation, challenged his followers to with calls of action to become better versions of themselves. He conveyed the importance of caring for one another, and he lived that out in word and deed. He was attuned. I love this one. I was writing it down. He was attuned to the current life experiences. He just didn't live and dwell in the past. He was right there with you. What's going on right now? He had the ability, I love this too, is he had the ability to teach the young and the old and the uneducated and the scholarly. He taught us how to talk directly to God. He was generous, and as I mentioned before, he met people where they were. And he loved for us to critically think. Critical thinking was part of Jesus' style of teaching. And we get this in today's scripture reading that was from Mark 9, 38 through 50. And here he is, and he's working with these disciples. He's really trying to help them understand. And they're all worried about, oh, my goodness, we got to, you know, the proper way to live. Here's how do we do the work of God? And you got to hold it right here, box it in. And then they're all upset about this unnamed healer who cast a spirit out in Jesus' name. Oh, no, he's not part of us. He's not part of the disciples. You can almost imagine there's Jesus taking a deep breath and with patience, and he's smiling. And he offers these two exaggerated hyperbolic scenarios so that they have a better grasp of what the faith, life of faith is really about. For example, one cup of water, that's worth the eternal reward that you're going to heaven? One cup of water? Wow, that's a pretty low bar. But then he goes up, and he goes not only from the low bar, but then he takes us to one that's just ridiculously high. He says, oh my goodness, well, you know, if you want to avoid sin and punishment, well, just go ahead and cut off parts of your body, pluck out your eyes, disfigure yourself. I was like, wow. But now critically thinking what Jesus said, the way of cold water rests on the belief that God loves us. The way of cold water reaches out to us with Jesus in relationship and God in relationship, because you know what? Inevitably, we're going to fall short. Inevitably, we're going to grow thirsty. And he offers us not punishment, but water, the cold waters of life to revive us. So we can spend our lives being exceptionally and unreasonably hard on ourselves, hacking away at our lives in a way so, oh, I got to avoid sin and punishment, hack away. Or how about spending our lives generously and extraordinarily with each other and with ourselves? Love God and love neighbor. As a teacher, Jesus invites everyone into a way of life that is built into a vision of a wild, gifting God who created everything, who turned authority on its ear. He shattered the pretense of power. He proclaims a kingdom of the heart, and he brings together the poor and the outcast, the forgotten, and the mourning to a table set with an endless feast. This teacher called followers into a way that promised loss and self-sacrifice and the possibility of the cross in his revolution of love. All right. I'm going to end this morning's message with two more points, and then we're going to be led in the Blessed Sacrament of Communion by the Reverend Jefferson Beaker. After worship, around 12 noon, we're going to have the blessing of the animals. And as you can see, we have a few of these beautiful creatures with us. And it always warms my heart. I dearly love the creatures of this earth, human and otherwise. And I'm missing Cora today. This past week, I came across an article that was written by a blogger. Her name is Debbie Gisoni. And she shared insights on what her beloved dogs have taught her about life. I love that. Her dogs have taught her. And so I'm going to share with you 10 things dogs teach us about what matters most. Number one, live in the moment. Two, overcome fear with love. And I love this because dogs often overcome their fear and insecurities through love. Number three, don't hold grudges. Number four, play every day. Boy, that's a good one. Play every day, please. That's a good reminder for us to do that. And number five is jump for joy. Jump for joy when you're happy. Number six, accept yourself. And I like this because I was thinking about terriers. Does a terrier sit there and wish that they had a nose of a greyhound? No, right? So accept yourself. Number seven, enjoy the journey. Number eight, very healthy, drink lots of water. Number nine, be loyal and dependable. And number 10, love unconditionally. And while that is difficult to do, it is important. And we are called to do that. One other thing. This week, I invite you, reach out. Reach out to those teachers in your life who have made a positive difference for you, those who have and had the attributes of Jesus, who cared for you and supported you and helped shape you into who you are. Thank them. Thank them as well as those individuals who are teachers in your life right now. Bluntly, teachers, on the whole, they're underpaid, they're undervalued, and they're overworked. And friends, teaching is a huge responsibility, and it is a calling for which we should be grateful to those who have answered that call. And let us give thanks to Jesus, the teacher. What a tremendously wonderful gift Jesus is as we follow him. Amen? Amen. Rev. Jefferson?
At the very beginning of our time of worship this morning, Melinda so beautifully set the stage for us to come to this table. She did that when she sang, Jesus saying, I just can't hold back my love for you. We come to this table because Jesus loves us enough to invite us to a beautiful meal. In the first century, sharing a table with others was the ultimate sign of acceptance and of hospitality. And Jesus has made that invitation to each of us here today. This being the first Sunday of the month, it is Communion Sunday for us here at Harmony. But today is also World Communion Sunday, an occasion that happens on the first Sunday of October every year, in which churches around the world celebrate the gift of communion. It began in 1933 with just a handful of churches, and by 1940 it had spread around the world. It has spread around the world so that churches everywhere may be an invitation to this table for inclusiveness, for acceptance of all, for unity, and for coming together as Christ's beloved. Christ loves us so much that he would want to remind you that your very life is an answered prayer. It is a comma, not a period. And so it is that we come here on this beautiful journey that we call life to accept this beautiful gift of communion. As we have come this morning, we remember that on that night that Jesus gathered his disciples around a table to share a meal. And I can assure you that there were more than just 12 around that table, regardless of what that painting may display. We are all invited. Whoever you are, no one is excluded. And it was at that meal that Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it. He blessed it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat. And whenever you do this, know that I am right there, right where you are. And he also took a cup and he blessed it and he gave it to them and he said, take and drink. This fruit of the vine is the very energy and vibration of perfect spirit that moves through you to guide your life forward at each and every moment. What a wonderful journey it is that he invites us to travel on. German theologian and philosopher Meister Eckhart has said this: there is a journey that you must take. It is a journey without destination. There is no map. Your soul will lead you, and you can take nothing with you. For the presence of Jesus is all. It is all that we need. Will you pray with me the prayer that Jesus so beautifully taught his disciples to pray when he said, Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May you be blessed this morning as you take the elements that I hope that you picked up this morning as you came in, and you take of the wafer and you take of the grape juice, knowing that this unconditional love of Jesus is poured out to you without end. Amen. May you go forward today renewed in spirit. May the presence of Jesus become ever more alive with you as you remember that that presence of the Christ is as always as close to you as your very next breath. Amen.
Please stand as we do this last worship song together. And we haven't done Passing of the Peace in a while, so if you feel comfortable, feel free to just say hi, wave to your neighbor, and pass the peace as you feel comfortable.
I'm not forgotten.
Amen. Go in peace.